All right, welcome back to Mic Checker, the show where we talk to people that are doing dope things in their spaces. This one, I actually met this young lady during the pandemic. She was doing collections of different people that were starting a podcast and putting them all on IG Live. I remember you did that. And she reached out, I was like, hey, do you want to come on? And she was introducing different people in their podcast back to back. And it was like a cool, this is early IG Live, y'all. Like, so it was just like, you couldn't put five people up at one time like you can now. It was literally one-on-one and in turns. And if people would really comment in the chat box and interact. And it was a lot of different podcasts came together and learned about each other, particularly during the pandemic when everybody was at home trying to figure out how they're going to be to get their content on a different level. And her podcast is dope. I'm a subscriber on her YouTube page. They do everything from like sexual tantric episodes to childhood traumas to how to be a better person within your relationship to I forget who's the one brother you had on there with the dreads. Y'all were talking about I can't remember it now, but he was funny. It was a dude with dreads tied up in a ponytail, and you guys were talking about relationships and everything. And y'all were going back and forth. Y'all was like having like a back and forth kind of like debate. I can't remember the top topic, but it was super funny and like insightful to just see two people kind of go back and forth and have a discourse educationally and not like a battle, like a fight. And so it's Nola from the Nola Experience. Thank you for coming on Mic Checker.
Thank you so much. What's up, everybody? My name is Nola Rowe, and I am the creator and host of the Nola Rowe Experience podcast. You're actually talking about my former co-host, Mr. Mele.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah. Okay.
So we typically don't delve too deeply into like the relationship battling thing. I feel like enough people are doing that. Mm-hmm. But that one day we were like, let's do it. Let's have this debate. But then we ended up agreeing on so many things. So it wasn't too much of a debate.
Right. It was a discussion. It wasn't a debate. It was a discussion sharing of ideas.
Yeah. It started out as we were like, let's do a debate. And then it fell through.
So let's start from the beginning. You're from Guyana. Are you a first? Are you a second generation? Are you a direct immigrant from Guyana to the States?
I was born in Guyana and I moved to New York in 93 at the age of 10. And I've been here ever since. I do love going back and forth. That's my foundation. That's my, you know, my roots. But I am also a New York girl.
What's so funny is one of my boys from college, he married a girl and moved to Guyana. She was from Guyana, moved there, and they're like he's doing some kind of projects there with like internet based, like getting more internet broadband throughout parts of Guyana. And he'd been there. I only talked to him on WhatsApp, you know, like that's it. That's all we could talk through is WhatsApp. He's been there like 4 years.
Yeah, that project is definitely well needed. I promise you, it's one of the connections.
Yeah, his wife is like connected to like the government or something. It was something crazy. He was like, yeah, I got we plugged in. You know, I don't know how good, you know, shout out to my boy. He's one of those people that be in and out the game of certain things. So I don't know necessarily, you know, if it's nefariously a little bit tight. I don't know with him. You know, I just don't know with him. If you knew the story about him, then you'd be like, oh, yeah, you know, you don't know what's going on with him.
Well, we all know somebody like that.
So you moved to the States, 93. How was that cultural shift for you moving from Guyana to, I mean, then you're not moving from Guyana to Florida or Georgia or Midwest. So you go straight from Guyana to New York, like fast tracking.
Yeah, it's funny that you mentioned that specific part because when I arrived, it was January and there was a blizzard going on. So that was my first time ever experiencing snow and ever experiencing a type of climate where outside feels like a refrigerator. I wasn't even prepared. Like I did not have winter clothes. People were giving me clothes. It was, and you know what? I definitely have a podcast episode about this with a bunch of my friends from different parts of the world. I have a friend from Pakistan, a friend from Nigeria, I have a friend from the Netherlands. And we all talked about coming from those different areas and our experience moving to the United States. And we were all like, it was ghetto. Like, we didn't know, it was, you know. And I think what happened for me specifically is, you know, I was watching TV in Guyana and watching those sitcoms. And you kind of feel like that's what life would be like when you move here. You know, people are whistling and skipping. And when I got here,
you thought we'd be living single.
You know what? It was more like, I want to say, I might be saying the wrong show.
Like Growing Pains or like one of those Full House.
Something like that. Exactly. It's one of those, we're happy, you know. Yeah. The streets are
problem by the end of the episode.
Exactly. So I came here watching the TV commercials. You know, as a kid, you don't know what advertising is. You don't know what marketing is. So you watch these people eating these perfectly constructed burgers. And when I came here, funny enough, about 30 minutes ago, I was telling my son and his sister that I had a hamburger the first time when I was probably like 13. And I'm like, why do y'all eat this? This is nasty. This is disgusting. What is this? You know, so it was a really interesting transition, but I really love that part of my story.
So what made you and your family move from Guyana to the States?
It's always about a better life. You know what I mean? It's always let's go to this place where there are so many opportunities. But to be honest with you, I feel like if you come to this country and you don't know the hacks and the secrets and how to really manage money and how to really get through these systems, you end up getting stuck and you feel trapped. So I know a ton of people who came from Guyana, and when they got to a certain level and they stacked enough money, they're like, peace, we out, because
this is it.
You know, we want to go back to our home where things are more natural and it's way more peaceful. And living in the United States for some people, it's wild out here.
It's awesome. You don't have time to be just chilling out, you know, like relaxing. You know, you don't get 2 or 3 hour lunch breaks, you know, nothing like that is happening. You get 30 minutes. Some places.
Exactly. It's crazy.
They want you on the clock. So when you actually move here to the States, you get New York, you 12, 13, 10 years, you said 10 years old. What was it like as becoming an adult being, was it, and let me construct my question a little bit better. How do you feel your transition as an adult would have been different in Guyana than it was in the United States, or were the same experiences you think you would have had just because it's just growing up as an adult?
You know what? I think at my foundation, at my core, I would have been the same person. And it's interesting that when I go back to Guyana, I've never really tracked how my progression was as a person, right? So when I go back to Guyana and my cousins are like, you never change, you're still the same. I'm like, really? I am? Okay, great. No. So I think at the core, I would still be the same person. Like my essence would be the same, but living in a place where you never hear about kids carrying guns in Guyana. You never hear about kids assaulting each other with knives and weapons and stuff like that. So growing up in the hood, you know, as a poor family, we're placed in the hood. We're not living in an upper class neighborhood. So a lot of violence, you see a lot of wild stuff outside, right? And I wasn't seeing those things in Guyana, but it always seemed like this was always a better place. You have all of these nice clothes and you have FAO Schwartz. You can buy these amazing toys. You know what I mean? And it's more of, I don't want to use profanity, but I don't know the better word of, it's like a mind fuck. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And you're living in it and you're thinking that this is such a better world, but I ended up reading this book, and this is just one element of my experience that I feel is it's very different. I read a book in about 2007 or 8 called Natural Cures They Don't Want You to Know About by author Kevin Trudeau.
Let me write the link, type this out. Okay, hold on. I'm putting this in my notes.
I think he needs to give me a check. I have recommended this book to so many people.
What's the name? It's Natural...
Natural Cures They Don't Want You to Know About.
Oh, I see it. Okay.
And it's by Kevin Trudeau. And what I loved about this book is you kind of think I'm going to open this book. It's going to give me a bunch of cures to stuff. And I'll be okay. It's not like that at all. He talked about American systems and the American standard diet. And one of the cures, and there is a chapter about how to never get sick again. And one of the things he put on there is he's like, stop watching the evening news. And I was like, wait, what? Don't watch the news?
I don't either. I don't. Maybe that's why I look so young.
and that's the wild thing, that the very things that you think are a normal part of growing up and being healthy, they're actually harming you. And this book took me back to Guyana. I was like, I came here and forgot that there's another way to live, like doing cleanses on the weekends and purging and drinking laxatives and eating certain foods. So it seems like this was a better life, right? But I can't tell you how many times I've cried. And I'm like, I want to go home. I want to be with my family.
Let me ask you this. So or do people think you like the big timer when you go back, like, oh, here come New York City. Here she comes. She gonna come in for her week trip and, you know, gonna tell us about New York.
Yeah. But the one thing, the difference, you know what? And another, I even talked about this on the podcast as well, because I was like, guys, I have a bone to pick with the immigrants who go back home and they don't tell you about their struggles. They don't tell you that they're suffering. They're stressed. They don't tell you that they live in the hood. They don't tell you that they barely make it by, right? Because when they go on vacation, they get dressed up. They buy all these new clothes just to travel.
They move to Atlanta.
they come and they stunt on you, right? But you know the truth. I was very different. You know, I went home and I was like, guys, let me tell you, you don't want it. Figure out how to make it happen here. You have no idea how good you have it. You can walk outside right now and pick food and eat for free.
That's impossible here.
Get your rainwater and drink for free. You know what I mean? And healthy. You don't have to spend $250 to $500 a week on groceries if you don't want to. And I guess people still want the full house and the family matters. So,
or is it, has it changed now where it's, because one of my homeboys is from, he's from Kenya. And he said he thought everything was a rap video when we came to college. He thought it was going, he said he thought everything was a Big Pimpin' video, maybe. Like, and I went to undergrad in Iowa. So when he got out the plate, I thought it was going to be, you know, just girls in bikinis and stuff on ships. He's like, man, he's like, this ain't nothing. And it was cold. So it was like, he had a culture shock, you know, but he was super did well. He moved to Toronto. He's doing his thing. Shout out to you, Tunji. He listens to the podcast all the time. So let me ask you, so what made you decide to get into the podcasting space? Actually, what borough are you from, too, before you even go to, what borough are you from?
I grew up in Brooklyn.
Okay, BK, do or die BK.
And I lived in Queens a little bit, and I was like,
Okay, I lived in Queens for 2 years.
Yeah? Okay.
For graduate school.
Where?
Hunter.
Okay.
Yeah.
Queens is cute. It's cute.
It depends on what part of Queens you in.
You know what it is? Brooklyn has an energy. There's an energy that comes with living in the hood, right? Mm-hmm. And then there's also this vibrancy because there are a lot of people from different countries living in one area. Mm-hmm. Queens, people are living in houses. Because there are so many houses, there's way more working class people who have to wake up every day and go to work and work for real, because that mortgage doesn't wait on you. Whereas in Brooklyn, there are way more apartment buildings. And the culture is a little bit different. So, you know, we got to, I think, interact with each other way more than people in Queens. Queens is a little bit, according to Brooklyn people, a little bit too dead. Like, doesn't have the flavor. Yeah. So, but it's cute. It's cute.
I mean, that's part of Queens. Guy went to school with his dad, had a whole bunch of those factory buildings. You know the area they were going to put the Amazon facility in?
Yeah.
And this area is like super dead, but it's like part of it's a Queens, it's like northwest Queens, but yeah. It's nothing there. And they were like, they said, like, a lot of those businesses are probably gonna shut down. They were like hoping that Amazon came there because that was the only thing that was gonna bring some vibrancy to that area of Queens.
Yeah, Long Island City. Actually, that area has become super gentrified, certain parts of it. Mm-hmm. And a lot of business has been coming in, but it still happened that because those businesses came in, the older businesses got shut down anyway. So, you know, people are afraid that they might lose their business because of the economy is a little bit weak. But guess what? People came in, brought new businesses, and they still lost their businesses.
Exactly. So yeah, but starting to, how did you decide to come up with the NOLA Roll experience in the podcasting space? And we'll jump into some of the topics you guys you kind of cover.
So the NOLA Roll Experience podcast was born in the DMs, right? I would always post stuff on Instagram and people were constantly telling me, you need to have a podcast. Like, this is the type of thing that people need to hear about. Like, we need to talk about this on a bigger scale. And I was just like, yeah, but I'm an entrepreneur. Like, I'm busy. I have so much going on. And a friend of mine, he contacted me one day. He was like, Nola, I've been asking you. I think you should do this. If you do it, I will be your producer. And I'm like, say less. That's all I needed somebody to say, because people tell me to do it, but nobody wants to help. It's a lot of work, right? Mm-hmm. So he decided to be my producer and then eventually became my co-host. Shout out to Mr. Mele. And then our videographer became the producer of the podcast. But I ended up in the space because people kept suggesting it. They loved what I was talking about. And I wanted to do it too, because I've always been a talker. You know what I mean? Ever since I was a little girl, I got into trouble so much in school for talking. So I had to channel that in a way where, and I also wanted to be a school teacher as a kid. But one thing that I've learned, you know, moving through the world and observing culture and observing how things change, I didn't want to be inside of a school. I didn't want to deal with y'all's kids, right? there are ways to still live your passion without it looking exactly how you originally thought it should. So I feel like with this podcast, what I want to always do is make sure that I am giving something. If you listen to my podcast and you don't walk away with anything, it's you. Sorry. But you know, I want you to learn. I want you to gain knowledge, gain some type of information that would help you grow. So I'm still teaching. You know, I'm not on the podcast lecturing like a well, let's kind of clear that up. But yeah, but people are still learning and I'm still talking.
So it was interesting. So when I was researching everything for this, you said that you had a transformation period when you were pregnant with your son, of like, changed your mind and your mind state of how you looked at life. Can you kind of delve in that for people, like kind of how you kind of changed your mindset, the way you were looking at the world, and how you kind of went into the space of more holistic and internal, you know, connection?
Yeah, definitely. I'm going to touch on one thing that my son taught me as a baby. When he was first born, he was very much like me when I was a baby. He cried all the time. I took him to the emergency room multiple occasions because I'm like, I don't know what's wrong with this baby. And y'all got to do something, right? Mm-hmm. And he just cried. And one day, fast forward to when he was almost a year old, my mom discovered that he didn't like to wear a lot of clothes. So I would have him, like, you know, his outfits bundled up. He's always. Mm-hmm. And the moment he became old enough to talk, he's like, I don't want to wear that. So when he's in the house, he's always like shirtless. He doesn't like to sleep. He's only sleeping with his underwear. So anyway, because he cried so much and I was by myself with him a lot, I was so stressed out, like sleep deprived and just going through it. If you ever came to my house to visit us, people would be like, Nola, what is happening with you? What's going on? My hair was all over the place. I always look crazy. Was I about to try to look good because you were coming over? No, because I was right. So then there were moments when we would just be so happy and joyful and having a good time. And those were the moments where I learned, like, okay, we're not always suffering. All of these moments are temporary. So when we're having like the craziest moments where we feel like we're going through it, and I still talk to him about that today, I was like, remember, the good times are going to come. This is a temporary moment. So being a new mom taught me to live in moments as opposed to looking at it like, damn, I'm having this overall suffering. No, those moments are temporary and the good times do come back. So definitely learn that from him.
Wow. Wow. So you realized that he didn't like having clothes on. That's interesting.
Well, my mom discovered that, because one night he was screaming and I was just lying there staring at the ceiling, and he was just lying next to me just screaming, because I was like, I don't know what to do with you anymore. Sometimes I would put him in the car, drive him around, put him on the stroller, push him around the neighborhood. And that would work because he wanted to be outside. He wanted to be driving. But one night my mom came and she was like, just take his clothes off. And life changed.
Wow.
The boy was hot. The boy was hot.
So he's like that. Now he's like one of my friends. Whenever he gets mad, he gets hot and starts taking his clothes off.
I haven't seen that yet.
Yeah, he was angry. Like, he get angry, you go, uh-oh, we got to get ready to go. It's he getting mad. he took his shirt off. yeah, but he's skinny. So it's like, so it's like a reverse thing. He's like, I'm hot, man, I'm hot. Yeah. Like, you're skinny. So what makes you decide what topics you're going to cover on your podcast?
I just have random thoughts and I'm like, I want to talk about that. You know, I'll be driving and I'll see something happen. And I'm like, you know, you'll see something happen or you'll see somebody doing something, hear somebody say something. And then a domino effect of thoughts start to roll. And I'll be like, hey, Siri, put this in my notepad. Da 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 da. I want to talk about this. And I have a notepad of maybe 200 topics that just thoughts, you know, they have to go somewhere because one of those people.
The I Only Listen to 90s Music podcast is a show for 80s babies who were 90s kids. If you were a No Limit soldier, then this is your show. If you believe that Cash Money is not an army, but was a Navy, this is the show for you. If you and your friends ever tried to sing a song written by Escape, En Vogue, Shy, or a Boyz II Men at a talent show during middle school, this is your show. But I Only Listen to 90s Music podcast is a bunch of 80s babies talking about all the songs and things that we loved when we were kids and teenagers. So if you went to the skating rink and you were at a lock-in, this is the show for you. If you think that Tevin Campbell was the original prince of R&B, this is the show for you. If you don't understand the conflict between Monica and Brandy, but you're kind of on Monica's side and understand why Brandy got punched, this is the show for you. Make sure that you tune in, subscribe, click the little subscribe link. We're here. We're going to talk about all things 90s music. This is the show for you.
I like to be inside my head, you know? My therapist is like, you need to not be in your head so much. Go inside your body. And I'm like, but I like being in my head. Yeah, but what happens is when you're in your head a lot, it takes you away from being present with people. So I can be in a crowded room of people and just be in the corner, like just in my own head, you know, having my own thoughts.
I understand that. I many times people be like, man, what's going on? I'm like, oh man, I was totally thinking about like the Cubs in 1985. Like I'm talking about, and I'm at somewhere, it's a concert, and they be like, dude, what are you thinking about? And I'm thinking about, has nothing to do with whatever's going on there. Like,
exactly. So I just started to put that on digital paper, and I'll go through them and pick and choose to either make it a topic or make it like something quick I'll say on social media, or people contact me, you know, people mm-hmm. know I have this story, we should talk about it. And I'll be like, no, this is a little bit too wild. I still think about my son. Yeah. Or yeah, let's do it.
So it's funny that you said that, like the one of your last episodes was what I learned from cheating.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh snap, this is interesting here.
Yeah.
But it didn't go the way I thought it was gonna go, which was cool. I thought it was gonna go like this way, but it went to another way that was cool. So I was like, all right, I get this conversation now, because it definitely, I thought it was going there.
Yeah. So how cheating helped me grow is kind of the concept, and this is how the podcast is going to go into season 4. We just wrapped season 3, and we go back into production in a few months. And this is how I like to see the world. Yes, this is something that's taboo. Yes, this is something that's controversial. Yes, this might not be the right thing to do, but it just so happens that it occurred. So how do we use it? So instead of me saying, I'm ashamed, I cheated before, or you cheated, you should be ashamed. It happened, it's gone. How did we grow from it? What did we learn from it? So that's basically what the conversation was about. But my guest, Tracy Khan, we were talking before about her cheating experience. But then after a while, she was like, you know what, Nola? I don't want to go in that direction with my story anymore, because I'm in a really good place now. I don't want to dwell on it. And when you're talking about cheating, you're not just talking about you. Sometimes you have to involve another person. Either you did it to them or they did it to you. And she was like, yeah, I want to respect that person. And then within no time, I figured out a different way to maneuver that conversation. And that's what you ended up experiencing.
Yeah, no, it was a delightful maneuver on that. Another one that that I really liked was the one with the therapist, conversation with a therapist, where she was discussing how it needs to be. You need to be able to have like dialogue and understand your therapist of like, okay, these some things we're gonna go through and we're gonna go back and forth on. And you got to be comfortable with letting them know, like, well, this ain't working out and we need to break up, as well as a therapist and a patient per se, you know. And that's something I think people don't think about when they do therapy, or they get discouraged from therapy of like, after I get this one, I'm locked into, you know, Dr. Talbert. And it's not, don't have to necessarily be like that. It's a test them out.
Yeah, exactly. Ask a therapist. That was our number 3 most listened to or viewed. Wow. Because a lot of people are interested in therapy, but they kind of have this idea of what it's going to be like. They think they're probably going to be judged. You know, they think they're going to have to go in there and tell all their deepest, darkest secrets, and they're afraid of that. Or when you hear people say, oh, therapy doesn't work for me, did you do what was recommended? Did you do the work? Or are you with the right therapist? So yeah, she did recommend, because on that episode, viewers and listeners sent me questions to ask her. And one of the questions were, you know, I'm not comfortable with my therapist, what do I do? And she's like, you can leave, you know. You can break up with your therapist. You can say, hey, for whatever reason, this is not working. Or you don't even have to give a reason. But it would be professional, it would be polite to say something as opposed to just ghosting.
Yeah, because I mean, that's just a cool decorum thing with that. What should we be looking forward to in season 4 from the show?
So season 4 is way more storytelling and learning about just incredible things people have experienced. I already have a couple of guests line up. For instance, one person will be talking about her experiencing being trafficked and being, she ended up in Las Vegas, and she wants to talk about how she walked out of that and where she's at now and how it helped her grow. So super important for me, because I've figured this out and I want to share it with people. Just because you've had a wild life, just because you've gone through things, because trust me, baby, I've gone through some things and I have made it to the other side, not because I'm so-called strong. It's because I've decided that I want to learn from it. I'm going to use this thing instead of having it use me. So season 4 is really about, yeah, we've gone through some things. So what? What happened? If you have a problem with it, then that's yours, right? But over here, we're going to use those challenges and those obstacles to help us grow.
Ooh, man, the sex trafficking. Woo. That's a heavy one, because I think that's something that, and I always think about, like, I was having a conversation with one of my buddies the other day. I was like, how much crime that we, especially as us younger kids that grew up in the 80s and 90s, that was around us that we did not even realize at all. And I'm talking about even adults didn't even realize what was going on. Like, how long has sex trafficking been going on? We're understanding that now in these new era, but of course this had to be going in the 80s and 90s and 70s and 2000s. How much of that was going on around us and we did not even peep game to it?
Yeah, you know, it's always been around. And one thing that I want to say is a lot of times when we hear sex trafficking, we automatically assume that the woman that's in it, she's probably kidnapped, stolen, coerced. There are women who agree to it. So if you have a prostitute that's coming from one area to another, it's technically the same thing. You know? So that's one thing. I'm not saying, hey, there's a better side of it or anything like that. and I'm saying that to say that there were times when women wanting a better life would go from one area to another or all over the place to make that money. So it's always been around. But it's interesting that you mentioned that, because my mother owns a restaurant in Brooklyn. And one day a production team came into the restaurant and they're like, guys, we're shooting a movie and we want to use your location. Can we use your location to have people come in, you know, sign contracts? We're going to compensate you. And we didn't know what the movie was about, even though there was so much talk. So I pulled one of the producers to the side. What is the movie about? She said, it's about sex trafficking in Guyana. And I was so thrown aback, because I didn't even know it's naive to think that it doesn't exist there, right? It's naive. I was like, what? What are we talking about? Eventually, over time, I ended up learning that sex trafficking in Guyana is huge. There are we're located, for the people who don't know, directly between Brazil, Suriname, and Venezuela. And those women don't look like the women who live in Guyana. So Guyana, we do have a lot of Black women, a lot of Indian women, some Portuguese. But when you bring Brazilian women or Venezuelan women, women from Suriname who speak different languages, it's kind of like exotic, right? So there's a lot of that going on, and I was blown away.
To understand this, Nola, so they're bringing women from Venezuela, Suriname into Guyana to traffic.
And Brazil, yeah.
Brazil, wow, okay, mm-hmm. Okay.
And also a lot of Guyanese women who you see in New York, they're sitting next to you, they're walking amongst you, they're working with you. You don't know that they're being trafficked. So
it don't have to necessarily be sex either, though. It could be like work trafficking, where people are bringing in people saying like, hey, you're going to work here for $1.25 an hour until you pay for your ability to have moved into this country.
Exactly. And sometimes sometimes they're not told the truth. You know, the person might say, hey, I'm going to take you to New York. You're going to make $1,000 a day. And then they realize you're not even making $1,000 a week. But how do you get back? How do you leave? You're stuck. So now you have to pay a debt. You have to pay for wherever they're letting you live. They're probably feeding you. It's a really it's a dirty game. Yeah,
that's gonna be interesting. Any other topics that you all, any episodes people should look forward to season four?
So really quickly, I wanted to mention that on season three, I do have an episode with Simona Brooms about trafficking in Guyana, and we up talking about her journey helping women, pulling women out of trafficking and helping them get housing and, you know, get out of these situations. But for season four, definitely, you know what, I want to talk more about people who have been in poverty, like below the poverty line, and made it to a place where they're wealthy. Because believe it or not, people really think that if you have a 9-to-5, if you go to work every day, that somehow you can save your money and become wealthy. And that's one of the biggest myths in this country. You're not going to work your way with a regular job to the type of wealth that you want. Even some doctors, some lawyers, I think the trade-off, in my opinion, is kind of even, because as a doctor, you're working 80 hours, you know. Yep. As a lawyer, you're going through the level of stress that's breaking down your body. So is it worth the six figures? Is, you know what I mean? Is that trade-off worth it? So, but what about the people who have figured out how to flip wealth and make this money? I want to talk about
legally too, and legally too.
Oh yeah. Right.
Because look, it's somebody right now, I need to be on the show. I remember I flipped them 10 bricks to 20, and then I bought a gas station, then I got a barber shop. I'm like, but hold on, you had 20 bricks before. What happened to 20 bricks? Don't worry about it. I got a barber shop, I got a gas station, and now I got a carpentry company. And you know,
I don't want the FBI knocking on my door. I'm good.
I'm just saying, I know cats that have, you know, got legitimate, but they weren't legitimate in the beginning, you know. So where can people reach out to you, check you out online, all that good stuff?
If you visit me on Instagram, the Nola Rowe Experience Podcast, you can tap on my link in my bio, and that leads you to everything.
And it'll be in the description notes for all this, everybody, so you'll be able to just click right in here.
Awesome. For the people who are like, you know what, I like her, she's really cool, you can connect with me on my personal page, The One Nola Rowe. That's the number one Nola Rowe. And on that page, I talk about entrepreneurship journey and wellness journey. So not only am I talking about, you know, going through the entrepreneurship life, but I'm also talking about keeping yourself intact so you can actually enjoy that the fruits of it when it comes. So.
Yeah.
And you get an introduction to my businesses as well.
Let's talk about some of your businesses real quick. Let's pub that. What kind of businesses, you know, you can pub out there for people?
Yeah, of course. Currently, I'm a partner at The Hills Restaurant in Brooklyn, which my mother owns, 4706 Church Avenue in Little Caribbean. And in April, maybe the beginning of May, I will be launching a business that I co-own, Waterfall Lounge Bar and Grill. And I invite you guys to even come out if you're in the area, pop out, grab a bite.
So a lot of New York people that listen, I mean, a lot of my New York people. So is that in Brooklyn too? Because that's going to be in Brooklyn too?
Yes, 4703 Church Avenue, Little Caribbean.
Okay. Oh, y'all, you and BK hard. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. That's not far from, I don't want to get in that. I'll talk to you about that afterwards. Let's get way too New York inside baseball. But man, thank you for coming on my check. Like, I really, really appreciate you coming on and hanging out. And like I said, everybody go check out all the, I mean, there's some good quality content. Like, I don't have many people on this podcast. I don't even do it that much, but I've been watching what you've been doing. Like, man, I got to get her on. I got to figure out how to get on here and talk to her about her stuff. So I thank you. Thank you so much, Nola.
Of course, I appreciate it. Thank you. Okay, later.